This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton, currently flying a little bit solo. Mr. Yerkew is in the stretch Kia somewhere in the mountains of eastern Tennessee. Hopefully he will call in sooner than later. Anyways, we have a special guest with us. Actually, he's not a guest. Let me rephrase that. We have a brother in arms, a person who has a seat at a table. We have, who's been on our show many times. We keep asking him to come on our show, and for whatever reason, he keeps accepting, but that's his fault. But anyways, we want to introduce our friend, our brother-in-arms, retired law enforcement officer, former veteran, author, and a part-time contributor to the Fox News Channel, Gary Byrne. Gary, how are we doing today?
Doing okay. How are you? Thank you for having me on again.
Gary, it's our pleasure. Like I said before, you're part of the family. And the funny thing is, like, people on this network just don't go anywhere. I've been with the show that precedes 7-5 Radio for 16 years. We've been on this network for 10 years. And I've been doing this particular show for 4.5 years. And just everybody's just comfortable. But anyways, folks, anyways, Gary, the reason why I brought you on is that you've been through a lot, and, you know, as a parent, I'm a parent, and if folks, especially if you're parents, you need to listen. A lot of stuff going on, and the schools are not helping. But, Gary, I'm going to let you take the helm, let everybody know what's been going on, and we'll go from there.
Okay. So, basically, what I wanted to come on and talk about is this modern day cancel culture of bullying and basically, you know, for almost 60 years old, basically, you know, it comes down to, you know, bad manners and people tolerating it. And it struck home in October 19th, 2020 to my family. My 17-year-old son, Ethan, was being bullied, being harassed. He was we didn't know about it. The first time we ever found out anything was wrong, basically, was when we found him in a park. He had taken his own life. It started about 6 months before. One of his friends, who was a very liberal person, his parents are liberals. We knew this, you know. They went to school together. They swam on the swim team together, and from time to time, they knew each other for a very long time. And when this friend of Ethan's, his name is Brendan McKnight, and you know, he showed some antisocial behavior at times around Ethan. And as he got older, he certainly seemed to adopt his parents' form of politics. Anyway, him and Ethan used to banter back and forth about politics and whatever, and you know. And no matter what it was, this kid at times, you know, would harass Ethan, whether it was about hunting or you know. Anyway, years ago, we cautioned Ethan to maybe find some new friends, and he did for a while. But the other friends that he found, that, you know, school is and different swim teams, you kind of circle back around. And so they got into a discussion in 2020. It was during the riots based on the death of George Floyd, and Ethan was making the argument that, you know, support the police, find out what happened first, you know, this guy was a career criminal. And anyway, apparently this kid Brendan McKnight didn't like what Ethan was saying, and he started this false rumor. Ethan was already being harassed at school because of his politics, because he was a conservative, because he was he also, you know, had some libertarian opinions, and so they started this rumor that he was a racist, and when it wasn't enough, when they were harassing him about that, they started the ideal that he was he wouldn't be able to go to college because they were going to contact his college, this kid. And when that wasn't enough, he went to this girl that they went to school with, and we're in the suburbs right outside of Philadelphia. And McKnight went to her and said, "Hey, this kid, my friend Ethan Byrne, is a racist, and he said this and he said that," which none of it was true. But she started harassing him, her and her friends, and then she posted it on social media. And he was receiving threats. It was going on for a long time, for about 5 or 6 months. Now, we know the school knew. He went to Springfield High School in Pennsylvania, Delaware County, Pennsylvania. We know the school
now, Gary,
knew
for 4 days. Gary, yeah. Sorry to interrupt. Now, is this a public school or a private school?
Yeah, it's a public school. And we know they knew for at least 4 days. And the way we found this out was, it took us about a week to get his phone open once he died. That told the whole story, his texting messages and everything. So anyway, we know the school knew for at least 4 days. So this is during the pandemic. They have all that pressure on them. And, Ethan was 17 years old. We were trying to pay attention to what was going on. You know, we realized the pandemic was happening. He didn't like it. He didn't believe it. You know, he had a lot of opinions similar to mine. He thought it was being planned. He felt that, he certainly was somebody who could see through the manure, so to speak. And he had a great mind. And so on October 19th, he came home from school. It was only the second day that they'd been allowed back in the building. They'd been going to school from home. And he came home, and he seemed a little upset. And, anybody that has kids, you've been through this 100 times, I'm sure. "Hey, how was school?" "Fine." "How you feeling?" "Okay." "Is there something wrong?" "No." "You seem odd, Ethan. You seem like you're upset. What's going on?" I said, "It was about a girl. He was 17. And a couple of days before, when he was really physically a big kid. I'm 6'2". Ethan was 6'5" at 17 years old. And I had a size 15 shoe. And so when he got his driver's license, I gave him my 2009 F-150 pickup truck, because the other vehicle he had that was available was his mother's minivan, and he just didn't like that. So, and he didn't fit in it, So anyway, a couple of days before, he had washed the truck. So, 17 years old, you're washing the truck, it has to do with a girl. And so yep.
Gary, we're coming upon our first break. When we get back, we'll talk about your wonderful son Ethan and just the mess that is our public school system and the kind of culture that it leads. But anyways, stay tuned, everybody. We got Gary Byrne. Hopefully, we get Walter 75 Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Have you ever had great honey?
No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. We are red hot rolling and fully staffed. Mr. Year 2 is with us. Walt, how are we doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing fine.
Outstanding. Also, forgot to mention, first order of business, as always, we want to remember men and women in the law enforcement community who are murdered in the line of duty. Currently, I am standing at the Law Enforcement Memorial in Northwest Washington, D.C., between 4th and 5th Street Northwest. And fortunately, this week, we have no names to read off. And also with us is our friend Gary Byrne. He's no longer a guest, but he has a seat at our table talking about the tragedy in his family. But parents, you know, this is why you need to be involved in your kid's life. Gary, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So, you know, that's the funny thing is Jenny and I were involved in her life, but you kind of walk that line, like, how inclusive are you? And so October 19th, he comes home from school. He seems a little upset. We both try to talk to him. He goes upstairs. He starts his homework. He comes downstairs. We're sitting at the dinner table, and, you know, his sister was there, was home from college. And so, you know, they start this, you know, it was one of the great things when you have kids. And, you know, we have two, obviously, Elizabeth and Ethan. And they started talking back and forth and bantering like they always did, as, you know, they were a little bit younger, and they started joking around about movies, and everything seemed fine. And so at some point during the meal, he took a couple messages on his phone, and the rule used to be, you know, we gave him a phone when he was 12, and the rule used to be no phone at the table. But when he turned 14, he joined the local fire department. He had been a volunteer fireman for a junior fireman for 3 years. He was about to go to fire school and become a full-fledged fireman at age 17. And he had jobs at the firehouse. And one of his jobs was for the local township. They made the employment badges for the local township, Springfield Township. And that was Ethan's job. And so he took a couple messages and at the dinner table, and everything seemed fine. And after dinner, he went upstairs and was doing homework. And I went outside to the garage. You know, again, this is to kind of give you the context. It's during the pandemic. You know, everybody's sort of locked down. I used to, you know, go out in the garage and sort of hide out there and get stuff done, do stuff on the computer, do shows like this. And so anyway, at some point he came downstairs and he told Jenny he needed, my wife, that he needed a notebook. And she kept all the stationery and stuff for the kids in this large closet off our bedroom. And in there, also in the closet, is where I kept my gun safes. And so he apparently, you know, he had come to this decision that this harassment had reached a point, and he was getting threats that we didn't know about. And again, we only found out any of this information approximately a week after he took his own life. And so he had already taken my keys from me and for my safes. And he tricked his mother into getting into this room. And usually she would go up and open the door and let him in with the key. But for some reason, you know, she's said, you know, here's the key, and here's where the notebooks were. And he went into the gun safe, and he took out his favorite pistol, which was my 50th birthday present. And I had been teaching, Ethan was on the range before he was 6 years old learning gun safety. And by the time he was 12 years old, he could pass, you know, because I was a firearms instructor in the Secret Service and in the Air Marshals. And my 12-year-old could pass any qualification course that was given in the United States. And he was incredible. And it's one of the hardest things is to deal with is he took this great skill that I gave him. And he was as good with his firearms as anybody was with a soccer ball or he was with swimming. And he used it to destroy himself. It just shows you the frame of mind that he was in, that this harassment that, you know, now you're not going to go to college and this and that and you're a racist. And every day while this was going on, of course, we put this together afterwards from the information we got off the phone. It was every day that this was happening. He was, you know, following news at school and you know, a football coach gets fired because he prayed during a game, or a police officer gets fired because he says something that somebody thinks is racist. And these are the things that were on his mind, and he was apparently terrified. And he took the gun. He wrapped it up in a sweatshirt, we believe, because he came downstairs, and he said to Jenny he had to go to the firehouse to do a badge, which we had seen 100 times. And she normally got up to hug the kids and kiss them before they left, but for some reason she didn't. And he walked out, and as he was leaving, he was walking past the garage where I was, and I got up and I walked out, and I said, "Hey, where are you going?" And he said, "I got to go do a badge." And I said, "All right." You know, so I started walking on the driveway behind him, and I noticed the sweatshirt, and I thought to myself, well, he's going to meet this girl. I'm sure that's what it is. And I said, "Listen, don't." Or, you know, I thought he was going to do that afterwards. And so I said, "Listen, don't spend all night at the firehouse. You got homework, and we want to spend some time with you." And he turned around and looked at me, and I swear, he seemed just as calm. And it just shows you that when somebody, especially a 17-year-old with that 17-year-old brain, and he had just come to the conclusion that this was his only way out. And I can't believe I'm saying it, but it's the truth. And he looked at me and he said, "Okay, Dad, I'll see you later." And that was it. He got in the truck and he went to this park not far from us in Media, Pennsylvania. It was this big wooded area that he used to go. He'd been going to for a long time with his friends and stuff. And they used to fish off this creek. And so anyway, he went there. And at some point, he took his life with a gun. And so he left. And about an hour later, Jenny, you know, said, "Oh, he's not back yet." And I texted him. He didn't reply. And so anyway, she went up to the firehouse to look for him. And they said he had never showed up. So she pinged his phone. And she called me and said, it says that he's, at, you know, in this area. And I said, "Jenny, I think he's meeting this girl. So I'd be real careful." You know, I still, as I'm talking to you and telling you about the death of my son, him taking his own life, I swear, it's hard to believe. So she followed the ping, and she called me a little while later. She said, "Hey, I found the truck. It's in this parking lot, this park. He's not around." I said, "Okay, I'm on my way out." She said, "Well, I'm calling the police." And I said, "Fine." You know, and by the time I got there, they had found him. And that was it. And we had no idea what had happened. I will tell you that when I realized what had happened, I swear I felt I immediately went into cop mode. And I still don't think I've ever, like, I feel like the other shoe has never dropped. I swear when my wife, when I realized that he was gone, I felt this ping in my chest. I swear my soul broke. And, you know, the way that he took his own life was just, unbelievable. But as time went on, you know, with the information we found on his phone and what was going on, and I came to the conclusion that if we had followed his plan that night, he would have jumped in front of a train or something. He was panicking. And, you know, it breaks your heart on so many levels. So that's what happened. And it's this cancel culture. It's not enough to disagree with somebody, but you have to beat him into the ground. And the school knew he was being harassed weeks, months before because of being a conservative, and they did nothing about it. And then the principal had this incident that was going on, that this rumor that Ethan was a racist and he had posted this racist thing on social, or that he had sent it to somebody. So this friend of his, Brendan McKnight, took this picture of George Floyd, and it used the N-word. And he showed it to this girl and said Ethan had made it up. Well, somebody had downloaded it off the internet. Now, McKnight apparently took the picture and took everybody else's, you know, so it looked like Ethan had made, you know, manufactured. And apparently this girl got the right to start with. Her name is Jordan Chisholm. And, you know, all these kids have gone on with their life. They're in college. And they're going on with their lives, and our boy's gone. And they had a hand in destroying him and setting it up to the point of where he didn't feel he had any way out. And when you look at the statistics of child suicide during the pandemic, it is stunning. It went up so much. And I cannot believe, you know, this happened to him. And he's gone. And you know, we've tried legal, you know, we tried to get information from the school. They wouldn't talk to us. And we ended up having to drag him into court.
Yeah. Gary, when we come back, we'll find out what you've been doing in terms of going against fighting the school system. I know it's an uphill battle. Also, I'm sure you want to get Walter's opinion. We're just halfway through, folks. We got Gary Byrne on the horn. Stay tuned. More 75 Radio.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
Tropical storm Nicole weakened to a tropical depression as it crossed the Florida's panhandle on its way north into Georgia. The storm has sent Florida homes toppling into the Atlantic Ocean and threatened a row of high-rise condominiums in places where Hurricane Ian washed away the beach and destroyed seawalls only weeks ago. The storm, which caused at least 4 deaths, was the first November storm to make landfall in Florida in 37 years, and only the 3-on-1 record. There is an update with Artemis 1. Tim Berg has the latest.
NASA says it has found minor damage to the Artemis 1 moon rocket in Florida following Hurricane Nicole. They say peak winds reached 82 miles an hour when Nicole hit Cape Canaveral as a Category 1 hurricane. 3 below the maximum gust NASA said the rocket could withstand. The next launch attempt for the Artemis 1 mission is scheduled for early Wednesday morning. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
German lawmakers have approved a plan to keep the country's 3 remaining nuclear power plants until mid-April, extending their life beyond the originally planned shutoff at the end of this year. The decision comes as Germany tries to prevent a possible energy crunch this Wednesday due to cuts in fuel supplies from Russia over the war in Ukraine. Colorado voters have passed a ballot initiative to decriminalize psychedelic mushrooms for people 21 and older. This is USA Radio News.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/free. That's ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
Okay. We are back. 7-5 Radio with Scoop Stanton, Walter Yerkew, and Gary Byrne, who suffered a major tragedy because of cancel culture, public schools, and just bullcrap. Gary, what's been going on with the schools? Have they helped out any? Have they taken a defensive stance? Have they said, "Oh, talk to our lawyers"? What's going on with the schools? Because I'm having other issues with my kids' public schools.
Yeah. So the first thing I want people to understand is, these public schools, they don't give a crap about your kids. Trust me. I don't say this easily. Now, don't get me wrong. We all know individual teachers and members of schools that are good people, but as a whole, as an institution, they're government schools basically, and they don't care about your kid. What they care about is what the reputation is of that school. And so Ethan dies on October 19th, and the next morning, you know, we wake up in shock. And the principal calls, the superintendent calls. The principal at the time is named Hep, and Joseph Hep, and he calls me. And in the morning, and, you know, and says, "He's sorry, and do we need anything? If we need anything, call." And then the superintendent calls and says the same thing. Now, we hadn't gotten Ethan's phone open. We had no idea what was going on, and we had no idea that they knew for at least 4 days, and probably knew before that he was being harassed at this level. We bury Ethan, and we try to move forward. And you know what it's like when you lose somebody, you know, whether not necessarily a child, but somebody passes away and it's close to you and it's tragic. That first week or two is kind of a blur. You know, everybody's coming over, you got your support around. If, you know, people were coming out of the woodwork from the Secret Service, from the Air Marshals, from my entire life, from my wife's life, to help support us. And it was heroic. They were incredible. So we, after about 3 months or so, we got our act together, and we decided, and we had got his phone open, and we realized he was being harassed. We knew what was going on. And, you know, I told my wife, I thought from a legal perspective, what we needed to do was stay away from anybody that we think is involved. We need to talk to the school, stay away from these kids and their parents, because we're going to end up in court with them. And we don't want to look like it's easy for people to insinuate that we're intimidating them or whatever. So anyway, I contact the school the principal three different times. I get no message back. And after the fourth time, I get a phone call from the superintendent. His name is Dr. Tony Barber of the Springfield School District in Delaware County, Pennsylvania. And he calls me and, you know, he's, "Oh, we're so sorry about Ethan. I'm looking at a picture of him." And I said, "Well, listen, we need to sit down with Mr. Hep, and here's the questions we have." And he said, "Well, that's not going to be possible." And I said, "Excuse me?" And he said, "That's not going to be possible. You can't talk to him." I said, "Listen, understand this. This is going to happen. You know, don't misunderstand me. I'm not threatening you, but he is going to answer these questions. He is going to sit in front of my wife and explain to her his actions that pertain to our dead son." And he goes, "Well, that's not going to be possible." I go, you're not understanding this. It is. You're just not going to like the circumstances. So we're going back and forth. And in the meantime, I had done my homework about all the harassment laws in Pennsylvania and stuff that might apply federally. There's not a lot federally, but there, you know, the laws of harassment and bullying, or harassment and conspiring against somebody, all still apply federally. And so I had kind of had my ducks in a row a little bit. And I said to the principal, "Now, keep in mind, this is about a 7-minute phone conversation. At 4 minutes, he stops to tell me again how sorry he is. And then a minute later, when I say to him, 'Listen, the state of Pennsylvania requires you to have three state employees, teachers from other school districts, to do an investigation and then come up with you with what should happen to these kids.' At this point, all I wanted them to do was suspend Brendan McKnight and Jordan Chisholm while you're doing the investigation, because it's clear what they did. They knew what they did because they had all been called down to the principal's office. And I didn't want them to, don't let them graduate. You know, mail them the certificates and that's it. We're done. Don't ever contact me again and I won't contact you again. And he refused to do it. And then when I said to him, listen, this is what the state requires, man, he snapped like Sybil. He was yelling at me and don't you tell me. And I started laughing. I go, what happened to the sympathy? Hey, doctor, what happened to, oh, your son was so sweet and it's such a loss. Now you're yelling at his grieving father. I'm like, you're a nut, you know? So that was, you know, basically at that point he said, well, I know you have a lawyer. I said, well, I had to because you're not, you know, you won't tell me anything. So, and I'd also gotten a lawyer because we live in a small town and I was pretty sure that we were going to eventually run into one of these kids or their parents. And, you know, I was afraid to make a confrontation with one of us. And so I want to have my ducks in a row. And so anyway, to make a long story short, nothing ever came of it. We tried to file suit. A judge wouldn't let it happen. They're sort of protecting the schools. It is clear that they knew for at least 4 days. Ethan, the last message Ethan sent to his friends the day that Ethan took his own life, the principal had called him down to the office, and his name was Hep. And Ethan says, Hep called me down. This is the second time in 2 days. The first 2 days that they were physically back in school, he calls him down, says that this girl says that he used the N-word, called him an N-word at the cafeteria during lunch. And Hep says, I know that didn't happen, but I just have to tell you she said that. And then he said, you know, supposedly Hep said, this is the picture that is going around, and they said you sent it. And Ethan said, I did not. So Ethan says that Hep, when Ethan's leaving the office, he goes, Ethan, you better watch your back. Other parents know are talking about this. Other parents have called me, and they're upset. So apparently, the principal had talked to the parents of these other kids, but had not contacted us. Ethan was 17. Brendan McKnight, who started all this, was 19 years old. He was an adult. And they're protecting him because they're protecting themselves. And over 2 years later, our son is gone, and nobody has ever been held accountable. And we're still, any legal ramifications as far as the school district goes, die in 2 years. And there's some other avenues where, you know, but this is why I decided to go public too. I did a video on my YouTube channel. If anybody wants to, you know, you can go on YouTube. My last name is B-Y-R-N-E, Gary Byrne. And you can find my YouTube channel and look at the 13-minute video I did about it. So anyway, that's where we are. Schools, public schools do not care about your kids. Again, there's individuals. We all have friends that are teachers. They're good people. But the institution itself is just about indoctrinating our kids and making sure that the school district has a good rating. And this is what I found out, looking into this was, these teachers and these superintendents, they get their bonuses and pay raises based on test scores. That's all they're worried about. They don't care. They ignore what was going on with Ethan. And after this happened to Ethan, I stumbled over all these people, you know, who this happened to. And some of the same people, the same superintendent, Tony Barber, the same principal, this former principal, Hep, were involved in these things where their kids were assaulted, in some cases even groped and molested, and they covered it all up, and the police don't want to get involved. You know, it's a suicide. And we know some of these cops very well. I mean, Ethan and I knew them from the shooting range, and it's just, it couldn't be more tragic. And I just can't imagine Ethan's state of mind where he thought this was the answer. They had him so panicked. I feel terrible, you know?
Gary, I know we're coming close against the clock, but a couple of things, and I'll turn it over to Walter before
sure.
we go to next break.
Be great.
First of all, thank you for coming on, because you know this is the second time you told me the story. I'm still emotional and just the hell that you went through, and I hope you don't blame yourself. We've known each other on and off for a couple of years. We've been on the show. We talked to each other offline. And, you know, you did everything that I would do. And I'm sure everything that Walter would do, because Walter had issues with his kids in his public schools. But I hope you do not, you and your wife do not blame yourselves for what happened. It's not your fault. And, you know, just listen to stories about Ethan. He sounds like a hell of a kid. And, you know, personally, I think you're a hell of a father and what you've been through. And again, don't blame yourself. Oh. And we'll come back. We'll get Walter's take and then just finish up. You got Walter Scoop and Gary Bird. Stay tuned, everybody.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules. The shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
We're back. It's Walt Scoop and a friend, Gary Byrne, who been through hell courtesy of the public school system. Anyways, folks, if you know somebody or if you're having a hard time, the national number for the suicide hotline is 988. Pick up any phone. Dial 988. You will get somebody 24/7. Walt, you're also you are a concerned parent. You're going through some things with your son. What's your take on all this?
Well, first I want to thank Mr. Burke for coming on again. This is just an awful subject and situation that you're involved in. And my heart is with you. My strong will is with you too, sir. You can never decompress from losing a child, no matter what anybody tells you, psychologist, agreed, politician, it doesn't matter. You'll never decompress, and that's a sad case. That's very, very sad.
Thank
but, you. You know, but you're a strong man. We know you're a strong man. Your wife is strong. And
We're trying. I would tell you that like I said, the night that it happened, I swear I felt a pop in my chest, and I mm-hmm. swear my soul broke. And mm-hmm. You know, I feel like, you know, we just make it to the next minute, the next day. We have another child. You know, we have other things
It's just, I mean, mm-hmm. I come to the conclusion with the help of some other people that have been through this is, you know, they stop using the word healing and mm-hmm. they don't like to use the word, you know, go on with life. You just function. And that's what we're doing. Yeah. And again, I appreciate you guys letting me on and talk about what happened.
My, like I said, my opinions on the matter of the cyberbullying, and it, of course it's come to life. In the past 10 years, very, very strongly with many, many suicides from the student population.
Right.
Being that the school's faculty, you know, it's, they have a lot to deal with, you know, 700-800 kids in the class, you know, in the
right.
school and parents and deliveries and, you know, people coming in, sports, you know, there's a lot on their plate. However,
yeah.
However, they are still paid by taxpayer dollars. Okay,
agreed.
They work for us. Any entity that is paid from a tax-paying fund works for you. When they
yeah.
come out of left field and they say, "Oh no, that's not going to happen," you know. There are guidelines that are written that they don't abide by, that they won't
yeah.
let you know that exist. They will give you what they want you to do instead of what the criteria calls for them to do in a situation. They may not like you and Mrs. Burke sitting in front of them asking questions that would be awkward for them but necessary for you. They may not like it. But by law, they have to do that. They have to do that.
Yeah.
They can't blow you off and say, "Well, that's not going to happen. You know, we won't stand for that." And then and then have the utter nerve to start yelling at you. And you put it perfectly.
Yeah.
You're the grieving parent here. You know, you're the grieving parent. You got this person who's supposed to be educated and a leader
yeah.
in the community yelling at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's Seven. Just unfathomable how
yeah.
this has changed in my lifetime. I turned 64 the other day, and I remember when I was a kid, when a parent went down to the school, oh, there was hell to be paid. Because if a teacher
yeah.
or a student did something for another parent to come down to the school to address, it was hell to be paid by that particular student. And that the parent or parents,
yeah.
because there were parents when I grew up.
right.
And as time has gone by through the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, nobody was watching the watcher. And people just started
right.
doing their own thing. So when they talk to you and tell you, you know, we're sorry, you know, your son was loved by everybody. He was liked by everybody. You know, these are just empty cliche words
right.
that they use.
You
know,
you're 100%
and
right.
it's horrible. You know,
it is.
You know, Mr. Principal, I don't need your sympathy. What I need is for you and I and my family to sit down and discuss this, how we're going to proceed against the people who did this to my son online. Because
yeah.
there are laws on the books now for cyberbullying.
Yes.
And
but
they refuse
to
follow
them.
Yeah, you're right. That's right. And you think, and it's not a civil matter anymore. It used to be a civil matter when it first popped up, but it's become a criminal
yeah.
matter. You know, you cannot be responsible for driving somebody's mental health in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
You have to be held accountable. You
yes.
have to be held accountable if you do that.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
In your regard, I know that they're just waiting for you to go away. They're just waiting
yeah,
for you to
go
away.
Yeah, that's what they tried to do. Right.
And
yeah.
it's not a problem with you taking your time and popping up at just the most inopportune time for them.
Yeah, we do that.
You
we
know,
go to the school board meetings. We put a little pressure
mm-hmm.
on them. One of the things that, so after 17 months and they realized that the legal challenge had failed, they also realized that they had to, what you just said was sit in front of us. So they called us up and set up a meeting. We notified our attorney. We went, and it was all orchestrated. And, you know, we cut the line at so many different points of the conversation, and they wouldn't ask, you know, questions that we knew the answers to. They were telling us other things. And it was heart wrenching. And again, it was just in some ways, I mean, I laughed right in their faces. I'm like, you don't really expect me. Do you understand that we already know what the truth is? You know, and here's something else I want your listeners to understand is, you know, they are paid by our tax money, but listen, they work for the union. Understand that these teachers right. unions are strong. They're protected. They have a lot of power. They put, you know, I'm not sure who's wagging what, but the police department has turned a complete blind eye immediately. After a year of a supposed investigation, the police chief looked my wife in the face and told him it wasn't his jurisdiction. And there was never an investigation. I said, we've got 14 messages, emails, and texting from the detective that you assigned. You know, you don't really think just because 6 months or years gone by that we've forgotten this, right? And they were clearly working in a concerted effort with the school and superintendent. And so, you know, this is where we are now. And the one of the main reasons I wanted to tell this story is for people to understand is these, you know, again, these institutions that are these government schools that are teaching our kids, they don't give a crap about them. They don't. They're worried mm-hmm. about their reputation. It's so easy for them. I had one teacher come to me privately and beg me not to say to bring their name forward because she would be fired, and she only had a couple years left. But she was so distraught over Ethan, and she told me flat out, she goes, the whole school knew he was being harassed because he was conservative and he was a hunter. We knew, and she said, I had no idea that this part was going on. She said, but they knew, the principal knows, and she said, I wish I could help you, but I have a family to take care of, too. And I agreed with her. I appreciated what she said, and so anyway, it's, you know, that's the boat we're in, and we just try to, you know, to get up and keep moving each day, and we do know we're Christians, we're Catholics, and we know we'll see him again one day, and we'll understand things that we don't understand now. And Ethan understands things that he didn't understand at the time, now in heaven, and that's where we are. But these school districts, you gotta watch your kids. You gotta ask them questions, and understand this: they're telling you what they want you to hear, not what the truth is. And when it comes to, yeah, no matter what it is, I mean, the stuff that we stumbled over that is happening in school, if I had known some of this, I probably would have pulled them out, to be honest with you.
Sure.
You know, and so anyway, that's where we are.
But Gary, just real quick, your story, yeah. they told me, made me take a much closer look at my daughter's and my sons that are still in the school at their life. And I even told my daughter the other day, with my youngest daughter, I said, if you have any problem whatsoever, please let me know. I will not get mad. And I take that extra couple seconds with my school-age kids.
Yeah.
I said, hey, how's it going? Did you learn things? Something like that. But, you know, thank you for just sharing it. And that's why all parents needed to pay attention to what your kids are doing. And then, like, we had Cal Thomas on last year, and he said, get your kids out of public schools. I said, Cal, I'm trying. He's like, stop making excuses. And real quick, Monday, I did an interview for an administrative job in a private school. I was like, well, why do you want that job? I want to get my kids out of public schools. But anyways, Gary, what can we do in the meantime?
Let me bump in.
Go ahead, Walt.
We don't have much time left. In when my son was in second grade, he came home and he says, Dad, is a teacher supposed to hit me? And I said, hell no. No. Why, what happened? He says, well, teacher paddled me. All right. I was down at school the next day. Apparently, it was the music teacher whom he sees for an hour once a week. You know, the class went for once a week. And I went down there and I spoke to the principal. The principal, of course, called the teacher in and spoke to her out of my presence. She comes out, he comes out, we're sitting in the office. She says, well, your son has been like this all year long. Well, where's the reporting? How come you never called me? So whenever I see this teacher in public in Walmart, I says, have you beaten up any kids lately?
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, anyways, right. Folks.
Shame.
Anyways, gentlemen, that's the music of the end of the show. We could have gone another hour or two.
Thank you.
For Gary Byrne and Walter Yerkew, this is a Scoop Stand reminding you, you can make a difference. Go out and make it. National Suicide Hotline number is 988. Gary, I'll talk to you in about 10 mics over the phone.
Thank God bless. So
all right, thank you, gentlemen. Bye.
This is James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.